his tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
What's up, Wisconsin? I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Lots going on over the weekend. Just a couple of, two, three, four bills that got big votes. We'll talk about them. But I wanted to start, of course, happy Earth Day to everybody. We got a whole lineup this week to celebrate Earth Day and all that Wisconsinites love to celebrate about the places that we walk, hike, fish, camp, and just hang out together. We are a state of outdoors people. And so, of course, we want to conserve those beautiful outdoor environments that we all enjoy so much. So happy Earth Day. Happy Earth Week. We've got a very special guest coming in today, Dr. Ann Getson. She was at COP28, which is super cool. I'm going to ask how a family physician from Wisconsin ends up at COP28. And we'll also talk about how, you know, our relative success at conservation is affecting the health of you and your family. Whether you live up north, Apostle Islands, or down in the Racine and Kenosha areas, we'll talk all about that today. Again, special guest for this Earth Day and this Earth Week, Dr. Ann Getson, later today. Also want to begin with a observance, of course, of Passover. For those that aren't familiar, and I'm sure Anya will help me fill in the gaps here, this is typically a celebratory day for people in the Jewish tradition. Most literally the passing over of the plagues, as Jewish folks back in the day marked their doorways, often accompanied by the saying, "Let my people go," celebrating the freedom of Jewish people. Of course, today that marred by the fact that 100 Israelis remain hostages in Gaza, and we still don't see a solution there. So a bit difficult to celebrate, but I certainly wanted to begin with a very mindful and intentional observation of Passover. So, of course, to my friend and producer, Anya, I wish you blessings.
Yeah, Chag Passover. Pesach Sameach to everybody. A blessed Passover, and may this time come with lots of stress passing over us, and hopefully some passing of some freedom to a hundred some folks being held hostage right now. Yep.
And of course, in many ways, I think some folks celebrating the aid package to Israel that was passed this weekend. How we got here to the four separate bills that were considered over the weekend by the U.S. House of Representatives, it is quite a fascinating tale. And it of course, I'm going to give you some of the wonk on all this stuff. If you would like to express Passover blessings, if you would like to join our conversation as I dive into the, how did we get here? How did the votes come down on some of, I think, the most important aid votes that we've seen come out of our U.S. Congress in probably the last couple of years? These were votes, again, by the U.S. House this past Saturday. If you want to reflect with us, you want to, again, have some Passover blessings. You've got questions for me or Anya, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And before we get into the meat of the votes today, I wanted to share with you that I just randomly decided, because I just bought one of these for myself, I like to do a lot of walking. And in celebration of Earth Week this way, I'm going to give away three of those trash picker arms. Because I have now taken to carrying one with me when I walk, along with a garbage bag, and I clean up a few things as I walk along. If you would like to get in on a drawing for trash pickers in celebration of Earth Week, funded by yours truly, Maggie Dawn, all you need to do is use the Civic Media app, which is free and you can get from any app store, and go ahead on and text us. Give us your name, confirm that you texted through the app, email, and a phone number that you'd like to be contacted at in case you win. We'll be giving those away on phone. We'll get in touch with you. Three trash pickers so that you too can be part of the solution and not the problem in celebration in a very small way of Earth Week this week. Anya will keep track of that for her and I. But again, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You want to qualify, you got to text in through the app, which is free from your favorite app store. With that, all of the business of the day concluded, let's dive in. We're going to start with some of that old Mike Johnson sound. So this is Mike Johnson. This is going to be cut to A. This is Mike Johnson and his stance on aid to Ukraine back from December. Now, keep in mind, the United States Senate passed a combination aid package that dealt with the Indo-Pacific, mainly aid for Taiwan, aid for Israel, and aid for Ukraine back in February of 2023. And after that package, which topped $90 billion, Mike Johnson did nothing as Speaker of the House to bring those various aid packages, either in one vote or multiple votes, to the House of the floor. He did nothing, largely at the direction of President Trump, whom, again, for reasons that remain speculative at best, deeply worrisome at just sort of medium test, and oh my gosh, why is he shilling for Vladimir Putin, hair on fire concerned, for some set of reasons, Mike Johnson doesn't move on any of this because Donald Trump told him not to, basically. So let's start with, so February passes, March, April, May, June, July, September, I forgot, August, September, October, and November, finally December. So like 10 months, nearly 10 months, 8 months, 10 months tick by. And Mike Johnson, this is December of just this past year. This is what Mike Johnson is saying about aid to Ukraine.
Just had a good meeting with President Zelensky. I reiterated to him that we stand with him and against Putin's brutal invasion. The American people stand for freedom, and they're on the right side of this fight. What the Biden administration seems to be asking for is billions of additional dollars with no appropriate oversight, no clear strategy to win, and none of the answers that I think the American people are owed. We need a clear articulation of the strategy to allow Ukraine to win. I have also made very clear from day one, we needed a transformative change at the border, that our first condition on any national security supplemental spending package is about our own national security first.
So, a bit in there, right? First of all, here's the strategy. Don't let Putin take over Ukraine. Like, that's the strategy, Mike. And whatever we need to do to stop that from happening, that's the strategy. Here's another strategy point. Don't let Ukrainians fighting for freedom run out of bullets. That's the other strategy. We heard, I think, a week ago now from Dr. Yoshiko Herrera on my show about the fact that that was imminent. Absent this aid package finally going through. Now, it's going to take some time to release that money to Ukraine. But here's been my point all along. As Mike Johnson twiddled his thumbs, literally fiddling while Rome burned, Nero style, the Rome here being Ukraine and Kyiv, Russian troops were advancing this whole time. And so from a fiscal effectiveness standpoint, that justification doesn't wash, right? Because for every inch of territory that Ukraine has had to cede over these last 14 months before Mike Johnson found himself some conscience and a backbone, they've been losing territory and Ukrainians fighting for freedom have been dying. It's going to cost us in pure tax dollars more to help Ukraine get that territory back than had Mike Johnson put up a clean bill for Ukraine funding back in February of last year when the Senate first adopted it. So this, oh, we need fiscal accountability, blah, blah, is just that, blah, blah. It's absolutely unconscionable. Now, somehow between that statement was made on December 10th, 2023. And this past Friday, Johnson literally found Jesus or whatever, or your God of your choosing, and found some kind of religion, came to terms with the truth. And by Friday, we're going to listen to cut 2B. This is what Mike Johnson was saying. We're going to hear it. I promise. Here's what Mike Johnson was saying just this past Friday. This is cut 2B. Don't go anywhere. I promise. We have it. Everybody, hang on. Johnson this past Friday, notice how the tone has turned.
Need just 1 second here.
Because we did this process, we got a better outcome here. We have a lot of innovations that the Senate did not consider. We include the Repo Act, which, as you know, is the use of corrupt Russian oligarchs' assets to help fund the resistance in Ukraine. We introduced the loan concept for the governmental assistance part. It'd be provided in a loan instead of a gift. We also included some really important sanctions on Russia and China and Iran, which I believe is the new axis of evil, and many of us do, and they are the ones who are the aggressors in this situation. The reality here is that if the House did not do this better policy and process, allowing for amendments on the floor in the process tomorrow, we would have had to eat the Senate supplemental bill. And that is because we were very close, given the timeline in both Israel and Ukraine, to a discharge petition being brought.
So you added some things to this bill that you could have done anyways in a separate standing piece of legislation. And no, the number didn't even change for the aid for Ukraine from the Senate number. That's all blah, blah, blah. There's nothing materially different. There's nothing that prevented the House introducing those things that he talked about. By the way, calling it a loan is hilarious. So here's the question that I'm left asking. And if you're on the lines, if you want to answer or pose your own question about how the hell did we get here, I welcome it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What changed, Mike Johnson? Like, how do you go from no way, never over my dead body to, well, we've got to do what's right here, and Russia's part of the new axis of evil? This should be a fair question that every conservative is asking, as well as every American. What was going on for the past 14 months, Mike Johnson? What caused you to see the light now? I would like to know. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Just a couple of really important messages, and we're going to get back into the important stuff right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Don't go with other boys, namely Vladimir Putin. I don't understand. There is no explaining why Mike Johnson sat and did nothing for 14 months while Vladimir Putin advanced further into Ukraine, and we've nearly... Our failure to act, Mike Johnson's failure to do what was right, has now placed Ukraine on the brink. And now, here's another quote. This is from last week from Mike Johnson. I really do believe the intel and briefings we've gotten. I think Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. The intelligence experts have been saying this since Russia invaded Ukraine. They've been saying this since he took over Crimea in part years ago. This is just so disgusting to me. And now, and I understand strategically why a number of Democrats praised Mike Johnson, because they didn't want the vote to get blown. But all of a sudden, when he said last week on Wednesday, oh, we're going to have four separate votes, one for Ukraine, one for Israel, one for Taiwan, one for the other stuff. The Putin caucus in the House of Representatives, which is Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and a bunch of the other nuts, freaked out and threatened to pull his speakership. They're still mad. I'm talking Boebert. MTG, Mr. Massey, Mr. Roy, Ralph Norman of South Carolina. A bunch of these people in the Rules Committee. This is the wonk part. So when your chairman or excuse me, when you are Speaker of the House, your party controls committees. You end up with a majority number of seats in every committee. The Rules Committee of the House is what sets the agenda and determines what bills will even be heard by the House. You're the party in control and you're the Speaker. You basically tell the Rules Committee, these are the bills that I want voted into consideration. Guess what Johnson couldn't get? He could not get a majority of the Rules Committee. It had been historical tradition for the last 30-odd years in the House of Representatives that the party out of power never votes in favor in the Rules Committee to advance the bills of the other party when they're in control. You get what I'm saying? So like Democrats, while Mike Johnson has been in control, traditionally, or Republicans in control of the House, would never vote for their legislation to come to the floor and vice versa. But this was so important that Mike Johnson needed Democrats to even get the thing to the House floor. I mean, this is nuts. It's sort of like if your opponent in a soccer game all of a sudden turned around and started to help you score goals. Like, that's what happened. Because the wing nuts are cozying up to Putin. And by the way, I cannot make this up. I had to go like fact check this about four or five times because I couldn't believe it. Saw it Politico, The Hill. This past week, like late Thursday into Friday and over the weekend, the pro-Putin caucus, the far, far right, the Boberts, the MTGs, the Gateses, created what they called in the House the Floor Action Response Team to be able to be on the House floor if, you know, some bill they didn't like, they tried to sneak through. And yes, folks, the acronym there is FART. This is real. That's what they came up with. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. I'm sorry to make flatulence jokes, but it's, again, I fact checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie.
Puns roll in. I mean, Mike Johnson can't smell himself into a good vision. So Democrats voting on a procedural motion to get a bill to the floor, like, never happens when they're out of power. Likewise, Republicans. But not only do they vote, this is for this speaker, this retrograde anti-abortion Christian nationalist, frankly, MAGA speaker of the House. I would like to know why. Why did he wait? What's so precious? And by the way, it was this whole procedural wrangling that ended up with Van Orden, our Wisconsin's own, and Matt Gaetz calling each other names on the House floor. The pinnacle of, you know, grown-up, what we expect from our grown-up state, you know, U.S. representatives. Gaetz apparently called Van Orden squishy, and then Van Orden called him tubby back. Wow. We can't even get him to not name call on the House floor. That's what we're dealing with. And the vote ended up coming down, this procedural vote, 316-94 to bring aid packages to the floor for vote. Wow. Ultimately, 165 Democrats voted for the measure, more than the 149 Republicans that voted for it. I mean, Democrats are the only adults in the room. People say all the time, I want government to work for the middle class. I want reasonable, sensible policies. I want us to do what's in the security interests of our country. I want people to behave like adults. I want compromise. Well, guess what? Tubby and squishy here and the fart caucus in the back pocket of Vladimir Putin aren't the adults in the room anymore. The Democrats are the adults, without exception, on every question. Chip Roy, of course, lost his marbles that they were going to take up these four votes separately. It's just Kentucky Thomas Massey. Now, we're going to get ready. This is, I want to take this Anna Paulina Luna clip. This is number three. I think we've got time. So this is on Matt Gaetz's little podcast or whatever. This one with Anna Paulina Luna, who's sort of from the commentariat on the right, had this to say.
So I'm just going to tell them.
Yeah.
So I heard that if and when the motion to vacate is introduced, that there will be immediate resignations of a couple of more moderate members of Congress. And in the event that that happens, that ultimately means it does go to a Democrat speaker. And so we're in a predicament.
We're going to take that sound again when we come back. But just remember that is Anna Paulina Luna talking to Matt Gaetz about what their temper tantrum might cause, which is Democratic control of the House. They finally figured it out. You might actually have to adult in Congress. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join the conversation. You've got thoughts or questions? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking about the votes taken this past weekend by the U.S. House of Representatives. Basically, four bills plus a fifth. We'll talk about that one. You got Ukraine, you got Taiwan, you got Israel, you got the other stuff plus TikTok bill. And then you also had the resuscitation of a bill that was nearly mirrored the ultra conservatives, ultra far rights immigration bill that was introduced earlier and also failed to pass. But what I've been focusing in on is the Ukraine aid vote, because MTG has been flitting about talking about the motion to vacate, which is a motion to remove their speaker, for a while. And as soon as Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, came out last week and said, we're going to take each of these aid bills up, that was the first big news, because he had been delaying for 14 months while Putin marched further and further into Ukraine and more innocent people died as freedom was eroded in Ukraine more and more. 14 months he waited and waited and waited because Donald Trump didn't want him to adopt Ukraine aid. Why? Again, the rationales for why Donald Trump cozies up to Vladimir Putin go from the banal to the absolute, absolutely existential. But he finally got around to it as soon as he did. As soon as he said, we're going to move these bills forward, we're going to take a vote, we're going to separate Israel and Israeli aid for Israel and aid for Ukraine and aid for the Wingnut caucus, the Putin caucus in the House started to threaten a motion to vacate. So there was this interesting conversation between this conservative talker and Matt Gaetz on his own blog, basically. This is Anna Paulina Luna talking to Matt Gaetz about removing the speaker. They finally figured out, oh, hey, maybe some of our conservative colleagues that have a conscience and understand that Vladimir Putin is, in fact, evil, a dictator that kills women and children, jails all opponents, regardless of whether or not they've actually committed a crime, has people assassinated, and is now threatening NATO. Some of our conservative friends might object if we try to move to vacate, to get rid of yet another speaker. Here's what she said.
So I'm just going to tell him.
Yeah.
So I heard that if and when the motion to vacate is introduced, that there will be resignations of a couple of more moderate members of Congress. And in the event that happens, that ultimately means it does go to a Democrat speaker. And so we're in a predicament.
No kidding. You actually have to adult when you get to Congress. You shouldn't just turn your brain off and seek whatever gets you the most clicks, whatever ingratiates you to the former MAGA president. You have to actually do on occasion what's right, not performative politics that harms people, threatens democracy, threatens freedom, threatens NATO. It just, the whole thing disgusts me. And I'm going to try to get this sound again with Anya. This is what, this is 2B. So this is Mike Johnson. Just this past Friday, I'm going to cut it off right after the beginning, but I want to listen very carefully to what he says at the beginning. I think it's this cut. If it's not, we'll figure it out which one. Go ahead, Anya. This is Mike Johnson on Friday.
Because we did this process, we got a better outcome here. We have a lot of innovations that the Senate did not consider.
There's that. And then this is Mike Johnson back in December. Again, listen to the first part very carefully.
Had a good meeting with President Zelensky. I reiterated to him that we stand with him and against Putin's brutal invasion. The American people stand for freedom, and they're on the right side of this fight. What the Biden administration seems to be asking for is billions of additional dollars with no appropriate oversight.
Okay. No appropriate oversight. What possibly could that mean? Might it be that Republicans in the House of Representatives keep trotting out the idea that Ukraine is actually a hotbed of like Nazism and Nazi activities, and that it's just so corrupt it's beyond any redemption? Might that be what the speaker was blithely and generically referring to? Because, oh, no kidding. That's, guess what? Guess who's pumping that idea out into the ephemera? Russian propagandists. It's being used, that line of logic that Ukraine is the cesspool of corruption and this hotbed of Nazism is what Vladimir Putin is telling the world to justify his illegal occupation and invasion of a foreign nation. Which, just FYI, the president of Ukraine, other than Benjamin Netanyahu, is the only other Jewish president in the world or head of state. So I'm going to go with no, Nazis aren't running Ukraine. But there is an entire faction of this Putin caucus within the House of Representatives that keeps saying this. Representative Dan Crenshaw, Republican from Texas, admitted this, that Donald Trump's enforcers in Congress, this Putin caucus, quote, want Russia to win so badly that they want to oust the speaker over it. Representatives, again, these are Republicans, Mike Turner of Ohio and Michael McCaul, again, another Republican from Texas, who chair the House Intelligence and Foreign Affairs Committees, respectively, have each accused the Matt Gaetzes, the MTGs, the Chip Roys, this nut, this Putin caucus in the House. These Republicans have called their own Republican colleagues in the House of Representatives of mainlining Russian propaganda and echoing it on the floor of the House. Disgusting. And we have an example of it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, last week, this is April 17th, not 5 days ago, in a quote line of questions, basically lays out the case that Ukraine's just a cesspool of corruption and it's run by Nazis, okay? But she's talking to an actual expert. Let's take a listen when a nitwit meets someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
You want to talk about misinformation, Mr. Snyder? You might actually look a little closer to American media if you don't like what they're saying. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Mr. Chairman, does he have the opportunity to respond to the gentlelady?
Sure. Yeah. Thank
you. I didn't ask him a question, Mr. Raskin.
You asked multiple questions.
First of all, I'd like to thank the representative from Georgia by making clear with her comments and with her person that any discussion of political warfare has to include Russia, Ukraine, and America. She's just demonstrated that point, I think, very powerfully. On the question of Nazis, I've written two books as a historian about Nazis and the Holocaust. On the question of Ukrainian nationalism, I am the leading scholar of that subject in North America and have been writing about it for 20 years. If the chamber is interested in the degree of far-right participation in Ukrainian politics, you can be assured that no far-right party has ever crossed 3% in Ukrainian election. So, of course, there are bad people in every country, but by any comparative standard, is a very small phenomenon. In Russia, on the other hand, the army includes openly Nazi formations, such as Urushich. The government itself is fascist in character, and it is carrying out a war which includes deportation of children by the tens of thousands, the open intention of destroying a state, as well as mass torture. So if we're looking for fascism, and if there is anyone who is sincerely concerned about halting fascism or racism, you would wish to halt Russia.
I think that's what they call a mic drop. He might as well said, "You stupid fool," at the end of it. But, you know, as much as we call it out, as much as it may get lampooned, this is dangerous. These are members of the former Republican Party that used to be foreign policy hawks. That, again, Ronald Reagan rolling over in his coffin. Why this subservience? Why this turning over, the handing of the keys of the Republican Party to Vladimir Putin? It doesn't make any, it's so dangerous. And it has no relationship to fact. They're just parroting Russian propaganda shamelessly over and over and over again. So why did Mike Johnson all of a sudden abandon that wing of his party? I would like to know. Because something's different. And I'm not going to ascribe it to, oh, he finally got an intelligence briefing. Well, is this like, you could make a biblical analogy to the New Testament, the non-believer, that you have to see it for your own. Are you that pedantic, Speaker Johnson? You can't believe the summary reports of the intelligence community? You didn't already know that Putin was an actual threat? He couldn't be that intellectually immature, could he? And that guy's speaker? And by the way, on the House floor this weekend, Marjorie Taylor Greene, leading the Putin caucus in the House of Representatives, introduced an amendment to zero out the aid to Ukraine. And guess what? 71 Republicans voted for it. 71 Republicans in the House of Representatives today are instruments of Vladimir Putin, are advancing Russia's agenda in the U.S. House of Representatives. You want to talk about threatening American interest, threatening our freedom? 71 Republicans voted to zero out aid to Ukraine. All of them should be gone. Every single last one of them. There is no principled defense for that vote. Not a one. And this garbage that has gotten trotted out about the border, well, we only need to listen to another Republican. This is going to be cut four. We only need to listen to another Republican getting asked the very question by Neil Cavuto on Fox News to know that that is but an excuse and garbage and more blah, blah. That it has no relationship to actual fact. This is Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, on April 18th, not 4 days ago, on Fox News with Neil Cavuto. Let's take a listen.
I know you're not trying to zing your colleagues, but it's your colleagues in your party, sir, who torpedoed this, who didn't get the facts right on what you just outlined was in that measure. They killed it. Ironically, not Democrats.
Right. It was painful to be able to watch it. It got stirred up in all the presidential politics, and several of my colleagues started looking for ways after President Trump said, don't fix anything during the presidential election. It's a single big issue during the election. Don't resolve this. We'll resolve it next year. Quite a few of my colleagues backed up, looked for them to be able to shoot against it, and then walked away. I get that. That's a decision everybody makes in it. My issue is if we're pursuing everything, we very often end up with nothing. If we're pursuing someone coming later to fix it, later seems to never come. When we have a moment to fix things, we should fix as many things as we can then come back later and fix the rest.
That's on Donald Trump, Senator.
That, again, he's got an office that he's running for. He's got a campaign that he's running. I'm already in office. I've got a responsibility to be able to carry on this.
Yeah. It ain't about the border. There was a bill that would have done that. You just heard that from Neil Cavuto on Fox News and Senator Tom Lankford 4 days ago, April 18th. We're going to listen to that again when we come back. I'm going to tie all this together because we got some folks right here in Wisconsin that we need to hold accountable in our own congressional delegation. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about Ukraine, and we need to know how our representatives voted. Did they vote against American interests? Are they part of the Putin caucus in Congress? I'll answer that question after these important messages.
Please hide me, Lord. All on that day, but the rock cried out.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Getting some great feedback online. Jeff from Short, I see your contributions. Lynn from Oconomowoc. And John from Hubertus is pointing out, I'm too angry. I think, John, I am angry. And maybe I need to moderate that. I'm going to take your comment to heart. But this stuff is the stuff to get angry about. I've been trying to put moments of less intensity into the show. I'm going to continue to work on that. I appreciate your feedback. This is so bad that I don't know how to have an emotional reaction other than the heartbreak that I feel that comes across to you all as anger, but I am heartbroken that it has gotten this bad. That members of Congress just spew out Russian propaganda. That members of Congress are willing, in my opinion, to violate the oath that they take to show some sort of allegiance or subservience to Donald Trump. And again, the explanations of why he bends the knee to Vladimir Putin range from the benign and ridiculous to the existential for our country. This is sad. This is a moment to be angry about. And again, this garbage that this is somehow about immigration is belied by Republicans in the Senate and in the House that actually wanted to get something done about immigration. This was Senator Lankford and Neil Cavuto just this past week. They're talking about the immigration bill that Donald Trump killed. We'll listen to it one more time because this is why I'm so mad.
I know you're not trying to zing your colleagues, but it's your colleagues in your party, sir, who torpedoed this, who didn't get the facts right on what you just outlined was in that measure. They killed it. Ironically, not Democrats.
Right. It was, and it was painful to be able to watch. It got stirred up in all the presidential politics, and several of my colleagues started looking for ways. After President Trump said, don't fix anything during the presidential election, it's the single biggest issue during the election, don't resolve this, we'll resolve it next year. Quite a few of my colleagues backed up, looked for a reason to be able to shoot against it, and then walked away. I get that. That's a decision everybody makes in it. My issue is if we're pursuing everything, we very often end up with nothing. If we're pursuing someone coming later to fix it, later seems to never come. When we have a moment to fix things, we should fix as many things as we can then come back later and fix the rest.
That's on Donald Trump, Senator.
That, again, he's got an office that he's running for. He's got a campaign that he's running. I'm already in office. I've got a responsibility to be able to carry on this.
A responsibility to do your job. I mean, I should say. Now, I promised you before the break that I would share how our Wisconsin congressional delegation voted on Ukraine. On the funding for Ukraine. Because this is the litmus test. Either you're bending a knee to Donald Trump and you are part of the Putin caucus and you don't give a whit about freedoms or American security. Or you want to be counted on the right side of history. That's it. This was the vote. Are you with Vladimir Putin or are you with the United States and those that believe in freedom? That's this vote. Let's see how they did, shall we? Scott Fitzgerald, no on Ukraine funding. Mike Gallagher, yes on Ukraine funding. Glenn Grothman, no on Ukraine funding. Gwen Moore, yes. Mark Pocan, yes. Brian Steele, no on Ukraine funding. Tom Tiffany, no on Ukraine funding. Derek Van Orten, no on Ukraine funding. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Republicans in our congressional delegation, and 5 of them voted against Ukraine funding. In other words, voted against freedom, against doing what's right, and labeled themselves, in my opinion, forever as part of the Putin caucus in our House of Representatives. These men, all of them men, don't deserve to be congressmen. And the only Republican that voted for Ukraine funding is the one that's retiring, dipping out before his term is over. And by the way, Mike Gallagher stuck around. He was going to be out on Friday or Thursday this past week. It was going to be his last day in Congress. He stayed to make the vote on Saturday because he understood it was a vote for freedom. I don't get it. It's just so scary to me. Tom Tiffany, here we go, tweeting Friday, $95 billion in foreign aid with nothing to stop the foreign invasion of our own country. No, Tom, there was a bill. Ask Senator Lankford, ask Fox News, ask Neil Cavuto. It's Donald Trump's fault that we're doing nothing about the border. If you're concerned about it, you too can stop forest fires. I mean, call the bill that the Senate passed or almost passed that the Senate introduced on the border. Tell Donald Trump to go kick rocks. We're not going to sacrifice American security because you happen to be in an election year. And again, spewing this lies and this hate about Ukraine being some hotbed of Nazi activity. Nope. The number one expert in the country, Dr. Snyder, says that's a bunch of garbage. Zelensky's parents, he's Jewish, the only other Jewish head of state other than Netanyahu, and his parents were Holocaust survivors. These were immoral votes, in my opinion. Forget the pot. There's no policy justification for those. Immoral votes. Here are immoral congresspeople. Scott Fitzgerald, Ben Grothman, Brian Steele, Tom Tiffany, Derek Van Orten, all bending a knee at the altar of Vladimir Putin. Gene, you got just about a minute. Make it snappy. What do you have to say this afternoon?
I'm saying outstanding job. The people need to hear this. I watch too. To my stomach. These people are traitors. They don't care about the people in our country. I don't know what devil they care about, but it's just outrageous, the lies and the... and propaganda that they spread, and they get called out on it, but they don't care. They just keep it going. They're the agent of chaos. If they're going to take out our country, they're going to do it from the inside.
And that is the truth, spoken by Jean, a regular listener and caller in Claire. I appreciate it. Jean, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take some important messages. You got news, weather, and sports coming up. Then we're going to be joined by Dr. Ann Getson and celebrate Earth Week together. Remember, if you